All right, welcome, bitches, to the Transformation Nurse Academy podcast. I'm here again with the bitch that Tricitter. This is the part of the mini series, the Alicia Tricitter story. Welcome back, Alicia.
Thank you.
I know I'm fucking that shit up.
You said it right the first time. Then you start thinking about it.
I don't see.
Overthinking it.
Right, I'm fucking shit up and stuff. So, how have you been since the last time I saw you? Just so you know, everybody, this is our second time recording this fucking fifth episode because I fucked up the sound and shit and Jane could have fixed it. So now we had to re-record it. So I appreciate you coming back and stuff.
Oh, no problem.
How have you been?
My pleasure. I've had a rough couple of weeks, a lot of pain.
So the video you sent me, was that recent or is that old?
That's not that long ago. So that wasn't that long ago where I'm having difficulty. Yeah, getting stuck and I have groceries delivered. Not that I'm lazy and can't go to the store, but
it is difficult.
I sold my car. And then it is difficult and it's hard to get around the store. And honestly, people are not nice to people that have disabilities. So whether I'm using my cane walker or they see me walking and I get stuck, or if I'm even in the little cart, people are just not nice in
public. Do you think they're fucking jaded?
I do.
They're looking at you saying, this bitch ain't nothing wrong with her. She's fucking walk normal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, because I'm home alone a lot and, you know, where I would end up going to the store by myself, I don't like it because people are rude. They cut me off. And then I can't, when there's obstacles and it's like an abrupt obstacle, I get stuck and then I generally fall. So I try not to do any of that. Like I try to go to the store.
When you go to the store, though, do you use your wheelchair or do you use your walker or both? Depends.
It just depends. If I go to a store and I know that they have a cart, I'll generally, somebody's going with me. And so then I'll get the cart. Or if I see a worker, I'll say, hey, is there an electric cart? So it just kind of depends.
I wonder if they have a fucking way that you can connect the wheelchair to a cart. So you can just fucking wheel your wheelchair around and have the cart and throw shit in there.
That would be nice. I haven't seen
John, get to fucking work and let's patent that shit. I know you won't hear this, but she'll fucking tell you.
Yeah.
I don't, but maybe that's something, we can patent.
When I take my walker, I can hook the front wheels to the cart and I can push the cart like that.
Yeah, but is that safe?
No.
I know, but see if you can just find a way that you could connect the wheelchair to the cart and make it safe and stuff, or make, you know,
it would be nice and a louder horn so people don't cut me off.
Yeah, but you can just buy one of those fucking air horns and shit, scare the fuck out of them and shit.
I'm telling you I think about it.
Oh, that's a fucking prank we could do on TV. Make a prank wheel up behind you. I don't know if you ever watched the prank where he looks like a short little Hispanic guy. He's in fucking Home Depot or something. He's always fucking like he's stupid and he's fucking spraying the water hose and shit and he accidentally sprays somebody. You ever see that shit?
No, I haven't.
You should fucking Google that. They're so mad as fuck. He's like fucking with the water hose and he's like he's dumb, like he doesn't know how to use it. And his water hose is spraying, he turns and fucking spraying the other customer and shit. And the guy's like fucking mad. Or the boxes will fucking fall and hit somebody.
Oh no.
Or he'll get a big fucking piece of boot wood and turn around and whack.
No, I have not.
I don't know, it's fucking funny as shit. See, we could do that.
Oh, yes. We watched the Jokers, those guys, the three friends.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Where they got to command each other to do stupid shit.
Yes!
Yeah, that's fucking
funny.
And
I was like, how many times do they get hit?
See, I'm going to do that to you. You're going to be in your wheelchair and shit. I'm like, all right, Lisa, you got to fucking go up there and fuck with that person and honk your horn. That would be funny as fuck.
Yes, it's bringing awareness to disabled people.
Yeah.
People
like
that struggle.
Yeah, I like it.
Paybacks.
All right, so last time we talked about this, I asked you, what does your husband think about your situation? And do you think he's ever decided to leave you or do you think he wants to leave you?
He feels bad for me, which frustrates me because I don't like anybody to feel bad for me. And he worries about me a lot. And I know it stresses him a lot. Do I worry about him leaving me? Yes. And I've told him, you know, like, you don't have to put up with this. You don't have to stay with me. You can go live your life.
I stay with you. Just let me have a little side piece of shit. That's all.
I give him the out, like, hey, you don't have to be with me.
How about just a sister wife?
No.
No, you don't want that?
No.
No. Why not? You don't want to share?
No. No. He loves me. He says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here with you through everything. You know, yeah, and it's comforting.
Could be him. Could be him that had exactly. gone through this stuff. So.
And would I told him, I said, man, if you, oh, hell yes, I would. Just I would have, right. Yes. Absolutely.
I don't know, but how many people would? Your spouse gets
not
sick?
Not many. Yeah, oh. Not many.
I hate to admit this. We didn't talk about this last time, but I didn't watch it last time we did this episode. But my daughter got me into this fucking show. It's a K-drama. And it says it's a Korean drama called Marrying Your Husband. And this bitch got fucking cancer. And her husband is cheating on her with her best friend. And both of them, she's walking into the bedroom while they're just laying there holding each other. Yeah, how we gonna fucking... I wish that bitch would die already and shit. And like, it was really fucked up. I know, I was like, holy shit.
That's so
but how
mean.
Many people think, how many people think
no,
like that,
it's
though?
It's true. It's oh. true. You know, my uncle, he took wonderful care of his wife. And she had cancer and she'd been fighting it the last 4 years. And it metastasized, you know, went throughout her whole body. And so she ended up going on hospice. She passed away a few months ago. But he stayed with her. He was faithful to her. He stayed with her no matter what. You know, and he felt guilty because, and a lot of people feel guilty, like, is it bad that I feel better and now that they're gone? You know,
no,
and
I
said, no, I said, you know, and I tell him because, you know that they're at peace. You were so right. stressed and worried about them and loved and cared for them that now you're at peace knowing they're not suffering anymore. Right. They're not in pain anymore. They're at peace. You
He's
know,
not suffering anymore either, though.
No, exactly. And that's what I told him. And that's what he's realizing. But he feels bad. And I said, don't feel bad. It's okay. You know,
I feel bad.
You miss out on things when you're going through that because your focus is elsewhere. And it's okay.
She's probably in a better place having better fun now.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you think he stays, your husband? Do you think he genuinely loves you?
I do. I do. Actually, I know it. And I recently came to that. I recently came to that. So
why do you say that?
Because. You know, any person, like you just said, anybody can walk away, right? Yeah. Anybody. He chooses to stay. He chooses to suffer with me. He chooses to be
Is
here
Is it really
with
suffering?
Me.
Did you ask him? Are you suffering?
No, and he tells me he's see. Not. But it, and
but
that's
what? That's you?
Me.
That's
I know.
You, mind fucking
My
yourself.
Insecurities. I know. Yeah. I know. And, you know, he could have easily walked away.
Do you
know,
feed
he
him?
Has... Yes.
You still fuck him?
Yes.
Then he ain't suffering. That's all men need. That's not. All. I know, but that's all we need. We don't need nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you stop one of those two things, then I'd say he's suffering, but he ain't suffering.
No. But there's days, you know, that I can't cook and whatnot. Today was a bad
shit?
Day. Yes. I order stuff. Yes. Yeah. Or it's like I have like, you know, I made homemade potato soup. I'm like, there's homemade potato soup. There's Indian food. There's, you know, loco moco. You know, left. There's, you know, so we have food, like he doesn't starve. And, you know, a lot of times he don't let me take care of him. Like he doesn't let me make his plate. You know, if he's sick, he doesn't let me do anything for him. He's like, I got it. I'm good. You just sit and rest, you know? And so, no, I genuinely know that he loves me to the core.
Was he upset I stretched you out last time?
No, not at all. He was good.
So we talked about this last time because I posted this question on my Facebook page about, because, you know, it kind of ties into women and abuse and why women won't speak up. But I posted this last time about a question where if a patient slaps you, do you slap them back or do you turn the other cheek? And what was your response last time?
You know, mine was turn the other cheek. I'm not going to hit a patient. I'm not going to hit a patient. I don't care what you do as much as I would want to.
What if it was a natural response?
You know, and if it was, I would feel bad and I would, but I would report it. You know, I would do an incident report. I'd definitely report it. I'd report it to the doctor. I would and say, hey, you know, they hit me and I just reacted.
Yeah, but
this is what I did.
But the problem with reporting it to the doctor, do you think they're going to charge anything?
No.
Right. So how?
But every time we do an incident report, we still have to report it to the doctor to say, hey, this is what happened.
Yeah,
they're
you.
Fine. There's no injuries. You know, so I would report it to my supervisor and everybody that I would have to report it to.
If you report it to your supervisor, are they obligated to report it to the state?
Yes. And if they don't, I have to. I'm responsible.
Why do you think they won't report it, though, if it's their job?
because they don't want to deal with any tags. They don't want to deal with state coming in. They don't want to deal with anybody coming in and snooping around. So a lot of the times, a lot of supervisors prefer not to report things.
So I'm kind of glad in a way that we had to re-record it, because a lot of things happened since then. I saw an article where a hospital in New York was fined $2 million for making nurses go over guys. Mm-hmm. And the nurses got a big old fat check, like $200,000 or $300,000 each or something like that. But it made me realize, and I want other nurses to realize this, why does a hospital not give a shit about that $2 million?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because they made $10 or $20 million in profit. They paid a $2 million fine, so they still made a profit. But if they hire more nurses, what does that mean? Is it cheaper to pay the fine or hire more staff?
Probably for them, hire more staff.
Right. See what I mean? So that's why they don't give a shit. I know, but that's why that took me. No, it's kind of true. A little wake up. They don't give a shit. So, but if nurses won't report it, because in the hospital, a lot of nurses won't report it because they say it's a part of the job. And I'm not talking about your dementia patients, because even dementia patients, though, I think people should report it. Why?
Mm-hmm. They need to report it because they need to know what's going on. That's for administration or management to know, like, hey, we need more help. We can't just leave this one nurse in there with 33 patients or 29 patients and this abuse is happening. Whether it's a resident to resident, a resident to a staff member, or what have you, it shows the importance of reporting it all. It shows that, hey, we need help. This is not just on them. We
so
need
think
the
about
support
this.
That we need on the floor for our safety and for the patient's safety.
But think about the shit you've been through. So we talked about your childhood. Your mom's brother. We talked about your first husband. But last time when we recorded this episode, I don't remember what facility it was, but you told me you worked at a facility. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if you said it was a psych patient or old kooky-ass grandma, but somebody hurt you and hurt your shoulder or did something to you. What was that?
So I have been, it was a skilled nursing facility. Many times in this facility, management wasn't listening for one. Something simple.
Wait, right? Hold on. I got to say something. Imagine that shit. Management wasn't listening. All right, go ahead.
You know, like a bed was broke and it was still a crank one. And so I was like, you know, hey, it's sticking. There's something wrong. And put it in the book because, you know, you got to, oh, well, if you want it to be fixed, it's got to go in the maintenance log. And then you put it in the maintenance log and then you have your shift, whatever, you come back, you go to crank the bed because you have to crank the bed.
Right.
And, oh, it's still not fixed. And then I end up jacking up my shoulder and in excruciating pain, shot up my neck, everything. And I go back and I look at the maintenance log. Maintenance log was signed off stating it was completed and that it was fixed, and it wasn't. And so I put it back in there again and then ended up going on workman's comp for it. And then it was kind of funny because when I went back to check and it wasn't the end of the month and because they clear them out at the end of the month, that page was gone.
Oh.
So I thought that was interesting. But anyhow, but got, you know, I'd get hit multiple times by elderly patients in the dementia ward. We had elderly dementia patients that were actually psych patients, but because they aged out of a psych facility, because we don't have, I think there's two in California for aging psych patients that age
like
out.
Old people?
Yes, elderly, like, geriatric people.
What age do they age out? I didn't even know that.
So,
what age do they age
out?
Yeah,
so I think it's like 64, I think it is.
So if you're over 64, you got to go to a special place?
Yes, and there's only two. There's one in Sacramento, one in San Francisco and one down south. And they're full.
So a nut house for old people.
Yes.
I got you. I know that's terrible. So,
it is. But so
I'm going to hell.
You are. But so for the, you know, mentally ill that are older adults, a lot of them go into skilled nursing. So, and then they end up going into a locked facility, because they have dementia or Alzheimer's, you know,
and
Alzheimer's.
They're actually not.
And, right, and they don't, and they actually have a psych condition, you know, a psych diagnosis. That the other horrible part is that in skilled nursing, in psych meds, there's many things that tie skilled nursing's hands as a whole for certain medications.
That's because,
don't ask me which, and that's because of Title 22.
No, that's state, because the motherfuckers who make the rules have never been nurses, exactly, and they don't know what the hell they're doing. They're just making laws and shit.
Yes.
Just a bunch of dumbasses.
And it's like, well, we're trying to treat the patient to give the patient a better quality of life. They need these medications. So, but the loophole is that if they have an outpatient psych doctor and they're capable, they can go to their outpatient psych appointments and see their psychiatrist and get medications. And as long as it's prescribed by their outpatient psychiatrist,
so they
can take those medications.
Why don't we get a fucking bus, drive them to the psych doctor?
No, exactly.
I'm just being honest. Like, let's load them all up on the fucking bus. Every damn skilled nursing patient, load them up on the bus, and we'll go take a trip to the psych doctor and let him write some medicines for us.
I know. And that's exactly it.
Is that wrong with me?
No, it's not. Because a lot of them need it. A lot of them hasn't been diagnosed with it, you know, or they're struggling. And so, you know, that gives them a better quality of life. Because at the end of the day, that's our goal.
Right. I got you. So you got hurt by a piece of a damn equipment. Do you think that the leadership gives a shit? Apparently they don't, because you said the paper was missing. So.
Yeah, no. I was struck by patients in the dementia ward. Mm. And I would say something, and I was filing SOC 341. So like, oh, you don't report that. What do you mean I don't report that? That was assault on me. Right. And I was protecting another patient that still has to get reported. And if I am assaulted, I'm still reporting it.
And what is the SOC 341?
So that is a elder abuse, child abuse. It's an abuse form that is required by the state of California to fill out if we suspect or if there is any type of abuse. So it's an abuse reporting form.
So let me ask you this, though. What age do you fill out an SOC 341 for elder abuse? What age does a patient have to be?
You know, I'm not sure.
So as a 55-year-old nurse, if I got hit by a patient in the hospital, could they fill out an SOC 341 because I'm an elder? And that would be constituted as elder abuse?
Right, that's true.
I'm just asking. Like,
no, that's a good question.
Most nurses don't know this, but people that are 40 plus years or older are in a protected class at work. Did you know that?
No, but I think we talked about this. You mentioned that last time that we're in a special class.
Mm-hmm. Anybody that's 40, right? Anybody that's over 40 is constituted as an old person. If you get fired and shit, they have to think about age discrimination.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right? That's what you were saying last time.
Right, see? Yeah. So,
in skilled nursing, one, if you are a resident, period, we fill out an SOC 341. We can have a resident in there that's in their 20s. It doesn't.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
It doesn't matter. So, I mean, we have, as long as you're 18 and above, you're a resident.
I got you.
We're filling out an SOC 341.
But I wonder if it's skilled nursing specific, that form. That's what I want to know.
Well, I've used that form in skilled nursing and used that form in psych as well.
Mm.
So in the crisis unit, if you're triaging someone, if there's suspected abuse,
we as ED nurses, most of us, I would say at least 80 or 90% of us don't have what? Psych training.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
We don't have any psych training. Yeah. We probably suck at psych patients. Unless you were a psych nurse, we don't know what to do. We just want to drug you and keep you quiet. But is that really beneficial?
No.
So, you know, you talked about the SOC 341, but is it mandatory to fill that out?
Yes.
But what if your manager or your charge nurse doesn't want to fill it out, like you just told me?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's my responsibility. It is not my manager's responsibility. If my manager refuses or tells me not to file it or tells me not to report it to state or anything like that, I'm reliable. I'm not going down for nobody. There is not one person in this world that is worth my license. Right. And so to protect myself and to protect my license, regardless of the fear of retaliation or, oh, they're not going to listen, nothing's going to happen. Well, nothing's going to happen if you're not reporting it. The more you report, right, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Right?
Yeah, but a lot of people, and I'm going to be sexist, a lot of women feel that when you report things or you speak up, you're looked at as a bitch or you're looked at as the squeaky wheel or you're not being a team player. Mm-hmm. How do you help nurses like that understand that who gives a shit? Like, this is our job, this is our duty, and you can't worry about retaliation. I mean, why do women worry about retaliation, first of all?
Because I think it happens so much. So many times do we get suppressed, or do we get told something, or do we get, you know, badgered for speaking up and saying something? So? Somebody always wants to knock us down.
So?
And it doesn't matter.
Get your ass up. How can we help them? How can we help them get up and not worry about it? But why do they worry about it, first of all? What is it that's in your stomach, in your mind, in your heart? What is it that you give a shit about that people talk shit about?
We're people pleasers. We want to make everybody happy.
Right. You said, she said it, not me. I don't want to be in trouble for being sexist.
And we can be sensitive, you know, but at the end of the day, as a woman working in healthcare, you know, and have been through these situations, I didn't care what my managers thought. I didn't care what anybody else thought. I did what was right. I took an oath. My oath was to take care of everyone, right? Without bias and all of that. And as long as I'm following policy and procedure and I'm following the state regulations to the best of my ability and I'm within my scope of practice, and if something happens, I'm reporting it, because nothing's going to change if we don't say something.
Now I'm going to throw you a fucking curveball.
Oh, God. Okay.
Because I don't think I asked you this last time, because you didn't really talk about this time. But so you just said we have to take care of what? You said we have to do the right thing. We have to take care of the patient. What mm-hmm. about taking care of yourself? Why should I, as a woman, remember, this is in honor of Women's History Month. Why, yes. as I, a woman, why should I listen to you, who didn't stand up? And I know it's hard as a kid, but you didn't stand up as a kid and say, hey, I'm fucking getting abused. You didn't stand up as a young adult to say, hey, my mm-hmm. first husband was kicking the shit out of me. Why should I listen to you? You didn't stand up.
I didn't. And I learned the hard way. And I'm hoping to show you and teach you and you hopefully.
And I don't mean that in a mean way, but I know what people are going to going to say that shit. So.
Exactly. And, you know, I didn't know better. And my upbringing that I went through, I didn't know that that was wrong. I didn't know that that wasn't right. And especially with the things that I seen and I witnessed, that, oh, this is normal stuff. What?
Well, it was normal for you.
It was normal for me. And learning and going to school and learning. So, you know, educating yourself. I educated myself. You know, the same thing with staying with my first husband. I was so sheltered and controlled. I wasn't allowed to talk to certain people. I was only allowed to talk to like these few. And that was it. Nobody else. Because if I did, it was put to me as they were attacking me, and to protect me, I needed to stay away from them. Oh, to protect me from that marriage counselor who was badgering me, I needed to stop going. You know, it was, you know, that victim mentality, and in that, I don't know if you call it a Stockholm syndrome or whatnot, but you know, you believe the things that you're told, and the things that I was told were incorrect. But when I got out of that cycle and I branched out and was talking to new people, and these things were coming up, and I'm sitting here talking like, well, isn't that normal? Like, that's what you should do. And then they set me straight and they're like, no. And I was like, oh, that's not normal.
No, you got brainwashed.
You know? And I did. And so somebody shared their story with me and it woke me up. And then I started realizing and educating myself. So I'm being that person. And so, sharing exactly that, you know, it's okay. You know, there's a will, there's a way. It's going to happen. There are resources available. There are people that are specialized in helping you, you know. Ombudsman is there for everyone. Did you find your ombudsman number?
No.
Okay.
I don't think we have
to look for that.
I know. I don't think we have fucking ombudsman for the hospital. You keep going and sharing your
story. And so, you know, ombudsman. Me sharing my story, you know, I could beat myself up every day.
Don't
beat
yourself up.
And I have, and that's my trauma, you know, and that's what I deal with, you know, that I stayed, that I put up with it, that I didn't speak up sooner. You know, and that's my own struggles that I have to deal with. But to be able to get this message out to other people, men and women, because it also happens to men.
What?
You know, this is not
no.
what? It's not a sexist what? Thing. I mean, I know we're on Women's Month, but
men don't get
it. It does happen. Women can abuse men, and it does happen. And, you know, it's just speaking up and speaking out and being your own advocate for yourself. Because at the end of the day, there's not going to be a better advocate and a better person to speak up than yourself for yourself.
For a long time, and it's probably still somewhat like this in America, for a long time, though, when women were abused, it was okay because, you know, you were property of the men.
Mm-hmm. And you probably deserved it. What'd you do?
Right. Mm-hmm. And then women started standing up and they would kill their husbands and they'd go to jail. But I don't remember at what time, maybe in the late 80s, early 90s, maybe 2000s. That's when we finally realized that if you killed your husband because he was mentally, physically, and sexually abusing you, that, you know, maybe you should be let off.
Yeah, self-defense.
Yeah, but I don't know how far we've come, though.
It's not like we've come that far along,
I bet.
We haven't. I will tell you, when I was dealing with all of mine in the early 2000s.
You know what I mean?
Shortly after my situation, because it followed me to Merced, and he had had the two restraining orders and all of that stuff. And so when the abuse continued now out of county, because I moved out of county and all of that, shortly thereafter, I mean, I noticed within my case and everything that was happening, and every time it happened, I called the police. It took me a long time to feel safe to be able to call the police. And so then once I felt that power and that confidence that it's okay, I did. I called every single time.
But would they help you? Were they helpful?
It was very helpful. One, it
were the police
created a paper trail.
I know, but were the police helpful?
The police were helpful. They showed up instantly, immediately. And then I noticed after that, I don't remember exactly about the time frame because a lot was going on then. But I know shortly after, you know, a girl's boyfriend had stabbed her to death.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, so domestic violence really...
Scott Peterson, in Modesto.
Right. I went to school with Lacey Peterson.
Mm. Do you think you did?
I do.
All right.
Yes, without a doubt. I do.
He wanted to get some booty. Not that I want to bring up the other person because she's not...
Right.
She's just as abused as the wife. Yeah. I mean, he manipulated both of them. So
He did. He did. Yeah. And so, you know, I think it's gotten more awareness now. And I think the police... And now, so if you... And this wasn't the case then when I was dealing with my domestic violence. They still, my speech is going to go.
Stressing you out.
Still, no. When I would report it back then, it was, do you want to press charges? Now, the victim, we can't say if we want to press charges.
They're just going to fucking do it for you.
Yeah. Because it became a liability to where, oh, they don't want to press charges. And then the next day, they're now dead.
Right.
Yeah. So I learned that. And so I was like, oh, well, that's good. It's, you know, I feel that that is important. And I also know that, too, they started separating people in a domestic violence where they would take the victim, you know, and the alleged abuser, you know, separately, where then the victim felt safer to talk. Because I will tell you, and when the police came, like the first time they came, he had ran. And so he was there when I spoke to the police. But I will tell you, if he was there, no, I would not have said anything.
Because you were scared?
Because I would have been too afraid. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I got you. That makes sense.
So I feel that it's important for people to speak up, for women to speak up. We have a voice. We are not, you know, we can use it. I mean, don't cry wolf, because I've met many women that tried to this bullshit of crying wolf or saying this or that, whatever, for attention. Don't do that, because we work so hard to have a voice that when those spread false information or make accusations that aren't clear, aren't correct, you know, that's what hurts us even more.
Right.
You know, and it's
nobody's going to want to believe you.
Nobody's, and that's okay. You know, not everybody's going to believe me. And, you know, and with people spreading the false, it makes it where, oh, well, she said it. Oh, then that's everybody. Yeah, you're lumping us in. Don't do that, because, you know, not everybody is doing spreading the word or bringing awareness because they want sympathy. I don't want sympathy. I'm bringing awareness for education to maybe help somebody, to maybe reach out to someone and help them have a voice and find that strength within themselves.
Right. I talked about that. I went to talk to the Fresno City Student Nurses Association today, and I told them about your story and the lesson that even though you're, you know, you're not your life, but your physical part of your life is becoming a little bit more fucked up and less normal than before, you still have a good spirit. You still have a good attitude. You're like, don't make fucking excuses. I can, if I'm still living and smiling, then you can too and shit. So I like that about you though.
Thank you.
So we talked about this off air, but you know, I wanted you to talk about it too. We, you know, we talked about the story where recently the father from Oregon, it says American man turned himself into the police after authorities in Oregon accused him of drugging 3 12-year-old girls as a daughter's sleepover using mango smoothies laced with benzodiazepines. What do you think about that shit? That's why I don't like my fucking kids to go nowhere and shit. Exactly. And when my daughters bring over friends, I'm like, I don't even want to be around them shit because I don't want to be accused of anything. Cause
right, exactly.
People are fucked up and shit.
It's sickening because, you know, it's children aren't safe and we have to be vigilant and be mindful, educate and talk to our children. It's very important to talk to your children about being safe. And, you know, parents don't want to meet the parents because we're being nosy. It's for safety. And if a parent tells you no, there's a good reason, you know. And I raised my daughters that way, but it's sickening. And it's, you know, I'm very protective of my daughters. I didn't
Do you know how you got caught?
How?
So one of the daughters,
as
she was getting a little bit sleepy, she was texting her mom, "Can you please come and get me? Please just come and get me. Don't take no for an answer. Can you please?" Like, she's texted her mom a million times. The mom was smart enough and called the other family, the other mothers and shit, and said, "Hey, bitches, we got to go get our kids." And when they all showed up, he didn't want to give them to them. And they're like, "Listen, you either give me my kids or else." So I would see that right there, you know. I'm like, I'd have burnt the fucking house down.
Yeah, definitely.
But talking about this story, again, I'm going to throw you a curveball, not to be mean or nothing, because people are going to ask, though, why would you stay with your first husband? Now, we talked about this because you said, you know, last time that you didn't know that he was abusing your daughters or your kids. I don't know.
Right.
So why would you stay with your first husband, even though you knew he was abusing your kids?
So.
But did you know? And when did you know? And what can you, what advice can you give to parents or to mothers and shit who are going through the same thing?
So.
Take your time, relax.
I didn't know.
Brief.
And the 55.
Brief.
I didn't know that anything was happening when I was at work. So when I was at work, he was abusing the older girls. And
when you mean
I found out, so he was hitting them.
Okay.
And then he would do weird, they called it creative punishment. Because
what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, so I found out he would like have them go out back and fight.
He'd make them fight?
Pick up something. Yeah. Tie them around the tree, put honey on them so the ants would, it was horrible. I was at work. I had already at this time had already started planning my escape to leave with me and the kids. So I had to do it secretively because I was told that if he could not have me, nobody could have me.
Right.
So I was in fear of my life and then, of course, my girls. And my thing at that moment was, okay, if I'm not safe, my kids aren't safe.
Right.
And so that I knew of, nothing had happened. Like, he wasn't doing anything to them. I'd come home, somebody would have a black eye or a fat lip or a bruise on their arm. I'd be like, what happened? Oh, so and so hit me, you know. And it was all, and they would always fight just on their own. So I was like, okay, you know, we can't do that. You guys shouldn't put your hands on one another. But I got called at work by CPS and by their worker and their counselor and says, you need to come home now okay. I told my boss I got to go, and I worked in Merced, and I lived in Modesto. So I get home, and I get there, and there's, you know, CPS is there, the counselor's there, and law enforcement's there, and I'm like, what is going on? So they talked to me before I ever go inside, and they were telling me what had happened, getting my side. And I was like, what? And then they had already spoken to him. And then I go in, they brought the girls out, and the girls were talking to me. And I'm like, what happened? What's going on? You know, this and that. And then they had told me, yes. No, they did it at that moment. Then they had him come in. And then they had told him to tell me what had happened. So he did. And I looked at the girls and I said, is this true? And they said, yes. And then right in front of everybody. So why didn't you tell me? You know, I said, you should have told
me. You probably scared like you.
And they were. And I said, you should have told me. I would have protected you.
If you were a grown woman, you as a grown woman were scared. What do you think little girls are going to be?
Yes. Yes. And I told them, I said, you know, but had I known, I could have protected you better. I would have done differently. I would have taken you to Nana and Papa's, and you would be there and never be alone and all of that. And so I had already started the process of the divorce and getting full custody. I'd already started everything and was secretively paying for it.
Did that help push everything to over?
Yes. And so then what had happened was, he was not allowed to be alone with the older girls without me present. And the only reason the girls could stay was because of me. And that's what I would do. If I had to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, I'm up at 3. I'm getting all the kids, and I'd have to do 2 trips because he couldn't drive them. He couldn't be alone with them, nothing. So I would drive.
Were you still staying together with him?
At that point, no. At that point, I had kicked him out of the house. The only thing he
had access to. Why did you have to make 2 trips then?
Because my car did not fit everyone.
Well, yeah, but why do you give a shit about him? Why didn't you just fucking take the kids to grandma and grandpa and tell him to fuck off and die?
Oh, no, no, no. So I had to do 2 trips because I had 5 kids and they all didn't fit in my car.
That's right. That's right. I forgot you had all the other kids too and shit. That's right.
So I would have to get up. I would take the babies with one of the older girls to my parents, come back, grab the others, and then take them and drop them off. That's so right. It was a whole process. And then I would leave and go to work and then come home and do it all over again. So
women are awesome. Women are awesome.
Yeah, we don't care. So
I know women are crazy. You guys do a lot of stuff that men probably would never do.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah, I do. True. I do. So then shortly thereafter, so he went in, moved with his girlfriend and all of that. And it was just me and the girls.
That didn't take long.
No. That was already a thing. And then he just moved in with her. So, which is fine. You do you. You don't want beauty.
Did he fuck her up too?
No.
Oh, see? What was it about you that he, you know, maybe she was a little bit louder than you. And she's like, listen, motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
I don't know. I'm just curious. Why you? I know. I'm just curious. Why you and why not her?
See, yeah, just, why
know,
not?
What is it that he felt he could manipulate you?
Yeah. Right. Well, one, he knew my whole story, and I feel that he used
it against you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. He was a groomer. You know,
yeah.
All right.
I see a pattern, right? A pattern. Yeah,
I get
so
that.
So with that, I chose to break the pattern and break the cycle. So he wasn't living with us. I kicked him out that December because that's about when everything happened. So I kicked him out. So then that July, my daughter's 4th birthday, he was upset because I wasn't going to let her come to the house and bring a gift for my daughter. And we had kind of gotten into it because he knew I started talking to someone, and I'd only started talking to them like a month and a half prior. And literally talking on the phone, not anything else, not anything. And so
were you already divorced?
the divorce was already filed.
Yeah, so I mean, he got nothing to fucking say. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but not in his mindset.
I know.
So until it was finalized, to him, I was still his property.
Wow.
So
I haven't got a bill to sell yet.
Yeah. So that's when things got really, really bad, and he almost killed me that day. And then that's the day that I was like, my mom told me, whatever decision you make, that's when she found out how bad things really were. He basically kidnapped me, drove me to my mom's, tried to choke me with my mom in between us. And she was the one that gave me courage to call the police and said, you know, whether you call the police or not, I think you should call the police. And, you know, we're here for you. I have you. We're going to take care of you. It's going to be okay no matter what. So I did. He had a felony warrant out. I had to go back to the house with my parents and stuff. And so I stayed because I had to be very strategic in my planning. And I had to make sure that when I left, that it was going to be the safest move for me and for my children. And so it took a lot of planning. I should not have stayed as long. But at the same time, my love is blind, and I was just not understanding.
Until you've been in somebody's shoes like you, what the fuck can they say? I mean.
Exactly. You don't know until really.
It's always easy to be a Monday morning quarterback and say, well, why didn't you, shoulda, coulda, woulda? I get you.
Exactly.
Asking the questions that.
No, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. And then and also during that time, I was securing us a home to live in Merced. So I couldn't just go and up and go with that many kids, you know. So that was the whole thing. And so I secured us a place to live. We were gone within a month. I had a place to live, sold the house, everything. I walked away with myself, the clothes on my back, my kids and their belongings. And that was it. Yeah, peace out. I didn't leave with money. I didn't nothing. I didn't care. I don't care. You know, my safety and my kids' safety, that was number one. And you know, rebuilt. When I found that courage, that's what drove me. You know, that's driven me to do all the things that I was told for so long I couldn't do, you know. And, you know, that person that I was trying to get molded into by other people, you know, I was refusing. And I was like, you know, I have to break the cycle. I have to show my daughters that you don't depend on a man. You don't depend on anybody. And that's how I put it to him. I just didn't put it as men. I put anybody. You can only depend on yourself.
Right.
Period. At the end of the day, don't depend on anybody to pay your bills. You pay your bills. Don't.
Right.
Because then nobody can take it away from you.
Right.
If you lose it, that's on you. Right. That's you taking ownership. That's you taking responsibility.
So maybe this was good that we had to re-record this because, you know, this is because this is for Women's Month. What is it that you would like to let the women know going forward, and how can we help women? How can you and we help women in nursing, out of nursing, who's getting abused and used, and how can we all make a difference to help women?
You know, have a voice, find your strength, talk to someone, be safe, definitely, without a doubt, be safe. Think of your safety, think of your children, think of what you would want them to be raised in and how you want them raised. And you got to break the cycle somewhere. Take back control. You know, your light's dimmed and that's okay. You can get it back. I promise you, because I'm here on the other side of it and survived it. You know, I'm not a victim.
Not just survived. You thrived.
I did.
You rebuilt the whole life.
I did. Yeah. I have a wonderful husband. My children are doing phenomenal. You know, I am proud of my accomplishments as a nurse. I'm proud of my accomplishments as a woman. You know, speak to somebody, reach out. You have questions, reach out to me, reach out to Kevin.
There's an organization. Yeah, there's an organization. I've been trying to pair them, but, you know, I'm just a small time person, but they're called nomore.org. NOMORE.org. The No More campaign to end domestic violence and sexual assault is dedicated to getting these issues out of the shadows and encouraging everyone to be a part. So, how can you help us be a part? Like she said, don't be afraid to reach out to her, reach out to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm proud of you. I'm glad that you did this. Yeah. Do you feel good about sharing your story?
I do. You know, it's a long journey. It's been a long journey. And I am proud of myself. And that's for me to compliment myself.
I know, it's hard, isn't it?
Huge. Oh, yeah, no, I'm not good. I don't take compliments. So if anybody compliments me, I'm sorry that if I don't, like, I don't know how to act. I'm just going to tell you.
No, it's not you. I think most people who go through what you have gone through are probably the same way. They just want to be humbled. They're just thankful that they're alive, that they're thriving, and, you know, they don't need any accolades. And so I get it.
Yeah. And, you know, it is what it is. And that's me taking control. I refuse to let the people that hurt me continue to have control over me. I refuse. And so I had to take my control back. And how I did that was, you know, speaking up and saying something and not dwelling on it. You know, I could have ended up, I could have ended up really bad. I could have been on drugs. I could have been an alcoholic. I could have,
been a serial killer.
I could have been a serial killer. I could have. There's so many things I could have been, but I chose not to because I felt that I had a purpose in life. And, you know, I had to be that figure for my children. I had to be that role model for my daughters.
So I just want everybody to know that this is the end of our part five of a five-part series with Alicia Tresidder. But what I want you to know is she's going to write a book. So make sure you keep on the lookout for her book, because there's a lot more details that she's cheated me on and left out and shit. But it's okay. There's always some good stuff that you got to leave out for yourself. Stuff. This is good.
And if there's an encore, maybe if somebody wants an encore, maybe we do another mini series. Yeah, who knows? And more things come out.
Yeah. So I appreciate you spending time with me. You didn't have to do this. I know a lot of people are like, you know, why share your story? But I do appreciate it. All right.
Thank you.
All right, bitches. Thank you for joining us, Transformation Nurse Academy podcast. My name is Kevin. This has been Alicia Tresidder, and I hope that you watch all fucking five parts and let bitches know to keep watching and let women have good power. All right, Alicia, you have a good night.
Thank you. You too.